Check out Menards' spring catalog for the best deals on lawn and garden supplies. Save big on trimmers, tillers, lawn seed, and more. Create your dream garden and landscaping with shredded rubber mulch. This natural-looking ground cover is made from 100% recycled rubber, so it won't decay or attract insects. Plus, it can cover 9.6 square feet. Available in a redwood color, a bag is just $8.88.
Save big money at Menards.
Remodeling a bathroom or dreaming of a new kitchen? Studio 41 Home Design Showrooms is your complete resource with a great selection of kitchen and bath products now featuring the bold look of Kohler. Visit a showroom or find us online at shopstudio41.com.
If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy, being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow, they made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
About 8.9 million people in the U.S. use smokeless tobacco. Most of them know they need to quit. Enter Jake's Mint Chew. Looks and holds the same as the real thing, but it's made from all-natural USDA-certified organic mint. No tobacco, no nicotine. It simulates your ritual of chewing tobacco, but without the harmful side effects. In fact, Jake's Mint Chew is good for your digestive system and even freshens your breath. So order Jake's Mint Chew and make your wife, kids, dentist, and doctor all very happy. Purchase online by clicking on the banner or go to jakesmintchew.com. Jake's Mint Chew. Chew healthy. Chew mint.
Yes, tonight.
The Bulls and Blackhawks are both fighting for postseason glory. We're the only station in Chicago ready to deliver the level of playoff coverage you crave. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Abaticola.
Getting this game out your head. This game is already over. Just enjoy your day with your mom, with your parents, and really just get forward to battling and competing again the next time we play.
That's Derek after the Bulls drop game four at home, 86-84 to the Cavs. A game-winning shot by LeBron as time expired. The series is tied at two. Now heads back to Cleveland for Game 5 tomorrow night. Tip-off is at 6. And according to various Twitter reports today with comments from head coach Tom Thibodeau, Pau Gasol is feeling better today, but still has not done anything on the practice court. So he's probably not going to play tomorrow. The Cubs are 3-7 on the month of May, and tonight open a four-game series at Wrigley with the Mets. Now New York is 20-11 and has won four of their last five. John Lester opposes Jacob deGrom. First pitch is at 7:05. The White Sox travel to Milwaukee to open a three-game series at Miller Park. Jeff Samardzija faces Willy Peralta. Pregame on the Score starts at 5:45. Hockey, the Western Conference set as the Blackhawks take on the Anaheim Ducks.
Whoa, look out! Ducks! Whoa!
No schedule announced yet as the Eastern Conference semis are still going on. Game 6 tomorrow, Montreal at Tampa Bay. Wednesday, Game 7, Capitals at the Rangers. And Ricky Fowler won the Players' Championship, beating Kevin Kisner on the fourth playoff hole. It was Fowler's first win of the season. He's 10th in FedEx standings. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Robert Morris University, Illinois' graduate school. Accelerate a master's in sports administration at RMU. And now it's time for yesterday's King of the Day, brought to you by King of Queens. Catch the hilarious comedy weeknights at 11 p.m. on WCIU The U. Yesterday's King of the Day was, in fact, Ricky Fowler, winning that Players' Championship. He finished his Sunday round with four birds and an eagle in the final six holes. Pretty incredible. And again, coming in a very close second, losing out by one vote, was my guy, the Tan Man, Chris Tannehill. I'm Matt Abaticola.
He is the Tan Man.
He is. He's a handsome man.
I had two birds for you, Matty.
Wow.
So Fowler had four birds. You had two? Two birds for me, huh? Real nice. Every day.
I've only got one.
You come in second place for the king of the day, and you're going to give me a bird, huh? It's nice. I'm Matt Abaticola. I used to be the Tan Man's friend, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the score is tonight, 5:45, when the Sox take on the Milwaukee Brewers on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com.
Oh, baby!
Lynn Casper.
Absolutely massacred. Solaire.
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Cubs win!
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Madison Russell.
Gone!
Three-run homer.
The first of Chris Bryant's career.
Lynn Casper.
To infinity and beyond.
What's that from? Star Wars.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 204 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Boers and Bernstein, and it's Monday and it's 2 o'clock. That means one thing.
Lynn Casper's on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He's on Twitter, at Lynn Casper, and the baseball team whose images he describes is in a bit of a malaise, shall we say.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, it was not a good road trip. The pitching was something I didn't really worry about going into the season, especially the bullpen, the way it finished last year and the way it was constructed going into this season. You got to put a little bit on the starting pitchers. They haven't really gone beyond six a whole lot. That would help with Lester and Arrieta coming up to start this week. Hopefully Joe can push the starting pitchers a little deeper into the ball game. But the bottom line is, if you're going to go anywhere and really compete late in the season, your bullpen has to be better than it's been. And the tough thing about, I think, short relief is the mercurial nature of it. It seems like when everybody's been good, it's been like a 5-6 day period where they're lights out. Mm-hmm. And then when certain guys have struggled, it feels like everybody has struggled. So you don't have one or two guys kind of scuffling and some other guys picking them up. It feels like when they've all one or two have been bad, they've all been bad. And if you make too many big changes here, you kind of end up replacing those guys with other guys who have similar track records. So I think you kind of need to generally ride it out with maybe, you know, changing a piece here or there. But Rondon and these types of guys, they're just going to have to work their way through these issues.
Take Hendricks out due to something he knows that we don't, maybe regarding OPS against after a certain number of pitches, or is there history there that informed his decision, or was that just something he saw, like you said, with some balls hit hard?
Well, I think it was the main thing was he started to see the Brewers square him up a little bit, and because of his stuff, you know, he wouldn't say he has to trick guys, but he's got to be pretty perfect with his location and his execution. I do think when you get to the third time through the order, most guys tend to struggle. So the interesting thing is they got out of that inning. Grimm came in, walked a guy, and then they got out of it. It was the next inning when Ross Cupp gave up the home runs to Maldonado and Herrera. Certainly not household names. I mean, Chris Davis, Gerardo Parra, these are not guys you expect to beat you, but they did. In that series, the Ramirez and Grimm injuries hurt a lot because it ended up taking guys and putting them in bigger roles than maybe they deserved at that point. I think it's a collective issue where just about everybody's got to get better for this thing to turn around.
It's interesting, Lynn. You know, when you talk, we always talk about the Cubs and how they were built and how the weight was and this and that. It is still hard as hell to do this, you know, because now you sort of, what you're just talking about, the bullpen is having troubles and then the strikeouts are mounting for some of the hitters. And I mean, it's just, you know, none of this stuff is easy. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy, but it sure as hell is not easy to get this all right, put together this where you can do this year after year after year, because it is tougher than hell to do.
Yeah, and I think, Terry, that the offense is just going to get better, whether it's slowly better or quickly better. I think this is going to be one of the better offenses in the league, maybe not this year, but within the next two or three years. These kids are just going to improve. They're going to go through their problems, ups and downs, but I don't see this offense collectively getting worse as time goes on. The starting rotation is interesting right now because – you know, you ask yourself, okay, who do you trust? I think Lester's been fine and will get better. You know, if you look at some of the other numbers, the FIP, In most cases, it's been better than the actual ERA. So there might be some bad luck going on. I'd probably trust Jason Hamill the most right now. He's probably been their most consistent guy. Travis Wood got off to a good start. He's had two bad ones back-to-back. He's got to be better. Kyle Hendricks has been just okay. I thought yesterday was probably his best start. But we get to the point now where you do kind of rely on the 6 years, 155. You know, this is where John Lester's got to make his money and kind of lead this thing. Jake Arrieta has had two kind of average to subpar starts after a fairly decent start. So you want your best starters to kind of carry the load. And especially with the bullpen scuffling right now, I think that some more responsibility falls on their shoulders, no question. And it's not going to be easy. The Mets are good. You know, they pitch well. They've got a good starting rotation. We're going to see Matt Harvey. We're going to see Noah Syndergaard, their top prospect, make his Major League debut tomorrow. And last year's Rookie of the Year, Jacob DeGrom, goes tonight. So this is going to be a tough week.
Chris Bryant gets the rookie treatment upon hitting his first home run. I can only assume that Anthony Rizzo was in charge of rounding up the troops and taking them down into the tunnel. And it was interesting when he got back to the dugout. And well, I'm sure Madden loves that stuff too.
Yeah, he
and he sees that nobody's there. I would have loved it if Bryant just calmly went and sat down on the bench.
It didn't go chase him.
Just sort of went. Just had a bench and went about his business like he otherwise would. It's just nobody there to high five. But you know, take off his helmet, put the bat back in the rack, and sit down and grab some seeds or something like that. But instead, he goes running down the stairs into the clubhouse.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Ed Halver, the assistant athletic trainer, was at the other end of the dugout, and he had been turned around, and all of a sudden he looked, and there was nobody there, and he just kind of sat down trying to hide. He was the only guy left in the dugout. But, yeah, that's definitely a Joe Madden thing. And unfortunately, the Brewers kind of ruined the narrative because they scored 12 runs that night. Yeah. David Ross went 1-2-3 in the eighth. So, you know, some fans don't like seeing guys have fun when you lose and when you get blown out. But I think the point of it is it's a long season. You're not happy when you get blown out like that, but Joe is just pounds home this idea of, you know, relaxing, never let the pressure exceed the pleasure, and he feels like guys generally, and I agree with this, will do their best work when they're feeling good and they're relaxed, as opposed to putting too much pressure on themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's exactly who I thought he was at Tampa. He hasn't changed a thing, Lenny. I mean, I watched him closely in Tampa, and I was a Rays guy, and watched what he did, what he said. And that's exactly what he's doing here. And believe it, when he tells you it, he's not panicked. He's not out of his mind with grief and worry over this. What you see when you see him talk about it after the game and so forth, he's not that way at all. I mean, that's not how he looks at this whole thing.
And I think that's by and large the way managers need to do it today. Whether we roll our eyes at young players who need to be, quote, coddled, mm-hmm. or, you know, treated positively as opposed to negatively, the bottom line is a big league manager's job is to get the best out of their players. And, you know, if yelling and screaming at them does not get the job done, you've got to find other ways to do it. Now, that's not to say that Joe won't bring a guy into his office and have a stern conversation. But I think the main thing you do is you cut playing time, you move guys down in the order. That speaks louder than anything. And I think, we've talked to Joe in the office about certain guys, and, you know, when they come into the clubhouse and they see, I'm hitting fifth today as opposed to third, I do think that sends a message that's just very, very basic. You know, you need to be a little better, and you might move back up the order. So I think it's a good handle on how to handle these kids. I think, by and large, keeping them as loose as possible and trying to take some of that pressure off them is a good thing.
The Cubs leading the majors in strikeouts. They're the first team in baseball to strike out 300 times. They have 304 in 30 games. That's a pace for 1,642 strikeouts. In my book, I know that strikeouts have been destigmatized.
That's still too many, is it, Dr. Baseball?
It is too many. And there's nuance to this conversation, and I always get painted in the, Len likes strikeouts. No. I think that
why do you like strikeouts?
What I have always said is you can live with strikeouts if you get walks as well. In a lot of cases, a strikeout is just an out. obviously, runner at third, one out, tie ball game in the eighth. You want contact. You want the ball put in play. But what I'm seeing lately, and I think Joe is seeing it too, we're seeing Jorge Soler swing it a slider in the dirt, which he didn't do in spring training. I think he's pressing. He's getting a little anxious. I saw an article, it was on MLB.com earlier this week, that said, you know, the Cubs are a patient group right now, but they could be even more patient. You know, what they're doing offensively is living via on-base percentage and generally not with slugging. Now, they did hit, I think, six home runs over the weekend. But his point was that a lot of these young hitters are not getting many pitches to hit. And what I think is happening is, as patient as Bryant has been, as patient as Soler has been at times, when push comes to shove and they have four plate appearances and they see two, you know, pitches to hit, I think it's forcing them in their mind to go say, I got to get something done here. So, you know, in some ways, they're chasing too much and swinging at stuff outside the strike zone. You swing and miss in the zone, Chris Bryant strikes out on a fastball at the belt to try to hit a three-run homer, I'm fine with that. What you don't want to see, though, is guys swinging and flailing at curveballs in the dirt that are 2 feet out of the strike zone.
Yeah, and that's you know, I noticed that too about a couple of them, that's exactly what's happening, Lenny. And I think if you get one or two of them going, maybe to take the pressure off of all of them if you get something going, because even Brian, who I love as a hitter, his patience and all the other stuff, and boy, they continue to pitch him tough. And I know not every pitcher is tough. I know not everyone is tough. But they continue, aside from the home run, his first major, thank God for that. But, I mean, aside from that, that guy is pitched like he's Babe Ruth. I mean, everything is fine. It's close. And he did expand the strike zone a little bit yesterday, I noticed. But basically, he's been pretty disciplined. But it's so tempting because they're so damn close with this stuff. I mean, he's not out of his mind swinging at anything that comes up there.
No, he's not, and I do think he has missed his pitch a few times. I've talked to some people who think, you know, the few pitches he has seen that he's been able to drive, missed aside him, yeah, from the home run he hit the other night, that he's missing it, and that happens. And I think it's instructive. Like, what he did in spring training was really impressive. I mean, he hit nine home runs in, like, 40 plate appearances, but this isn't spring training anymore, and pitchers are not going to, quote, work on their stuff once it counts for real. But I'm not worried about him. I think he's going to be fine. The thing about Bryant that's really impressive is his instincts. His base running's been very solid. He always seems to take the extra base when other guys might assume that the play is going to be made that isn't made. So that part of the game I like a lot. But hopefully as the weather heats up, this team starts to hit the ball out of the ballpark, which is definitely something that I think it's going to have to do for it to be really successful, because as you mentioned, Dan, they're striking out at a pretty historic rate.
I heard you and JD talking over the weekend, too, about the concern that the Cardinals already, with that 6.5-game cushion, I think it was JD that used the phrase run away and hide. And it's early for that, but when you start to have a reasonable fear of that kind of separation, it does make a series like this one against a very, very tough Mets team that starts to creep into the back of your head a little bit, that it gets late early around here.
Yeah, and I think internally you don't worry about anybody else. You're just trying to figure out what you need to do that day to win. But I think externally, obviously, we can look around the landscape, and I don't think